He had aged out of the foster care system with one question still haunting him. Who is my father? Edward reached out to me with a name, a city, and a hope that this man, this stranger, might be the missing piece to his identity. But what unfolded was one of the most emotionally complex cases that I've ever worked. And not because it was hard to solve, but because it forced me to face the harsh reality that some answers leave deeper wounds than silence ever could. I found the man, and I made the call. Watch today's full episode to learn how what unfolded was a sobering reminder that while investigations uncover the truth, they can't always guarantee closure. Another episode of Top Priority Chronicles. This episode is titled, When the Answer is No, the Limits of Closure. This case came to me early in my investigation career. I was finishing up my short career as an adoption worker. I had been an adoption worker for 2 years. That meant that I was certifying families, collecting their background stories, collecting their background records, and putting together a house study, which meant that you went through their home, you interviewed family members, and you put a big report together that certified this family and approved them for a certain amount of children. So after doing this for 2 years, when I was finishing and wanted to go into investigation full time, I initially thought I would go into helping children who have been through adoption locate their biological families. The challenge was I could not find work doing that. The adoption company I was working for had initially agreed that they would like somebody like that, like to contract with work like that, but eventually they decided not to do that. So it left me looking for alternative ways to gain experience in the investigation field. So I ended up going into investigation fraud, but I did work with families to do background checks and to help locate family members. And this is one of my first cases. And you know, I give you that background just to kind of set the foundation under knowing that I had experienced an adoption. I had been an adoption worker previously, so I had worked with families who were eager to, you know, had their own reasons why they, you know, were looking for and to adding to looking to add to their family with children, and so I had a personal attachment in a sense to this case. I was contacted by a gentleman that we're going to call Edward. He had seen a social media ad that I had created regarding my top priority investigation services. And he called and we quickly clicked because he was just a likable person and he was just really direct about what he wanted. He was, you know, that he had been doing his own research. He had collected some information and he just, you know, it was just we contacted to start a contractual business, but in doing so, he needed to give me some family background information, and he was just easy to talk to and just an all out nice guy. So, Edward was really determined, despite the challenges that he had with trying to get additional information from his biological mother. And matter of fact, once his mother knew that he wanted to, you know, locate his biological father, I believe it ostracized him even more from her, that she was upset about that. And so he was really just determined to do this for himself. The information he had was really, he had really done really good investigation work on his own. He had given me He knew who I needed to contact. He had a name. He had the city and the location. He even had other, I believe if I'm not mistaken, he had other names of maybe family members that that was connected to the gentleman that he believed was his father. And so he made the investigation really easy just because of the information he provided. So I initially did a background check on the information he provided, and I was able to contact or slim the person down to just a few contacts in that area. And it was just a easy hit. I was able to contact the person, get it down, and the person was able to acknowledge his identity right away. So yeah, there was no problems locating the gentleman. But what I felt was, I felt emotionally invested in getting this gentleman to, I really kind of had, I think I had all my eggs in one basket. I just kind of assumed that all fathers want to know if somebody's their child and if they would want to rule them out. And if that were, if they assumed that were the case or would want to meet them to see if they look like them. I just had all these assumptions running through my head that just kind of made this an easy, easy open and shut case, which turned out to be very much not what I experienced. Although the investigation part of the case was very easy to contact him, easy to locate him, easy to confirm this was the right person, the outcome was, I was not prepared for the outcome of the case when I contacted him, and I was not prepared for his response. I'd like to even go a step further back and just talk about my own personal trigger that occurred when I got this case. Although I knew my father, I didn't grow up with my father. And so I think that added an extra layer of personal investment into this case, where I was really determined, even though that I didn't set out saying, oh, that's what we're going to do. In my heart and in my mind, I wanted the same thing that Edward wanted, which was to confirm or to rule out that this guy, having this guy do whatever he needed to do to rule himself out as the father. So I did, you know, do a background check. I was able to rule down, make a couple of calls and ruled out that I did find the right person. This person was able to confirm that he knew Edward's mother. He knew that Edward's mother had a child that she assumed thought was his. But this gentleman reacted and said that he had already taken a paternity test, that it was deemed that he was found not to be the father, and that he felt firmly that he was not the father of this child, of this son, of Edward. I also let the gentleman know that I could not give his contact information to Edward unless he gave me authorization to do so. The gentleman was adamant that he did not want Edward to contact him. He did not want me to pass on his information, and that he was sure that he was not the father, and he did not want to dig up old bones, and he wanted to just put this to rest once and for all, and he didn't want to have anything else to do with it. So I ended my phone call with the gentleman. I thanked him for his time. And even before making the phone call to Edward to let him know the outcome, I really had to, when I look back, I think now I can see where I thought I was feeling sorry for Edward. Maybe I think there's a part of me that was feeling sorry for myself and just my own personal circumstances, where I took the denial from the gentleman as denial to Edward. And that was just a black and white. Either he was or he wasn't. Now I look back and I realize there could have been so many different, possibilities of what that man had experienced that I really could not identify, that I just had my heart set on a specific outcome and it didn't happen. And then therefore I was disappointed at the end of the day, as an investigator, you have to be able to keep your mind and heart open to all possibilities of outcomes. We cannot predict what will come and what will happen. The thing that saved me is, I think that was really wise for me to do, and that I had borrowed from working in the adoption world, was I had added a preamble to my finding missing person services that said that I could not guarantee results, and that when I located the person, if they declined to have that person contact them, I could not give them their contact information, and that Edward has signed on and agreed to those terms. And so I think that was the wisdom of having worked in adoptions, that I was able to glean that preamble and make it a part of my application services or contract services. But I do just want to offer that support services, that you can't always be ready for everything. And I think there's some things that you are not going to be able to be prepared for, but how can you create maybe a blanket statement in your contract that your clients or potential clients can read and understand that you cannot guarantee what the outcome will be. Even if they have all the information you need and the investigation is nice and simple and open and shut, it doesn't guarantee the outcome will come out the way they expect it. And it doesn't guarantee they'll get the closure that they want or need. So I think we need to be prepared to deliver that information to our clients. We need to be able to also handle our own personal triggers and traumas separate, and make sure that we don't mix our stuff with the client's business, because they are paying us for a service, and it is very, very imperative that we do our own work, our own personal work, that we're able to be self-aware enough to separate our own traumas from what we are experiencing in the client's case. And so I think that was the one thing that was in my favor here, that in a sense it comes to make sense why you do all the hard work you do in your personal development, is that when you are doing your professional development, your personal development does not get in the way and hinder your professional development. And so I just want to encourage you, and not even as just an investigator, but no matter what your line of work is, you can never be too self-aware or too you can't over process your past traumas. I think there's a such thing as just kind of really going through and doing your own personal work to a level that gets you comfortable enough and self-aware enough that you also know that even as your stuff comes up, no matter how much work you've done, there's still a part of you that needs to process that separate from the work, the professional work. You do that on your own professional timing. You don't bill the client for that. You don't have your own personal traumas or your own personal fears. You don't heap those onto the clients by, you know, creating hypotheticals, what ifs, but you just provide the facts, what you were able to uncover to your client. I delivered to Edward that the man that he thought was his father did not want to be contacted, did not want to share his contact information. He did acknowledge that he was aware of his mother. He did acknowledge that he was aware that his mother had a son that she assumed could be his, and that he did have a relationship with the mother, but that he did not want to have any further follow-up regarding this, because he, in his mind, he had already resolved that in the past with DHS when he had been contacted with the child being in foster care. So with that being said, it really allowed me to deliver that information to Edward without attaching my own personal feeling sorry for him, or thinking that I was doing him a service by feeling sorry for him or feeling bad for him. I really had to just like get myself in a professional mode to be able to deliver that information to him, and also give him an out to ask if there was anything further that he wanted to do with the information that I gathered, considering I could not give it to him. And I think that was, for me, just a way to ask if he had any other ideas about what I could do with the information that would make him feel better, you know, would make him feel like this service was a benefit to him. And he was, you know, he was a lot stronger than I expected. He was very resilient. He took the information like the grown man that he was. I believe he was 23 at the time. And he was just really strong and resilient about it. And after this case was resolved, it was a short time later, but I ended up, Edward returned and was a repeat customer in a different matter. It wasn't family related matter, but he was a repeat customer. So I would say that Edward walked away happy with my service, and I gained a repeat customer from Edward. So just because you have to deliver hard information or the information isn't delivered the way you expect it, doesn't mean that the client will take it out on you or will find you as a bad investigator. They will, a lot of the times, take the information as you deliver it. So if you deliver it in a professional, you know, manner where you just are very thorough and giving them all that has been presented, you could very well win a repeat customer. So I thank you for tuning in for today's episode. And if you have any episode ideas or if you have an experience that you'd like to share, please feel free to drop it in the chat below, or you can DM me, or you can find me online at toppriorityinvestigations.com. I'm always open to you sending me additional information. You can always find me also on social media at Jamie Carr on Facebook or Top Priority Investigations. You can also find me under Top Priority Investigations or I Am Jamie Carr on Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm also under Jamie Carr and Top Priority Investigations. I'm also on TikTok under God's Cutie Pie, GODSQTPI under Lady J. Find me there. And I'm always just up to connecting. So I appreciate your time.